Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, some people enjoy being tickled. Some people can't abide it. Tickling can be fun and has been used even as a form of torture. But it's also a sexual fetish. Clarity Mills is a motivational speaker and professional dominatrix. Hi, Clarity.
Hi, Sean.
Nice to talk to you again. Has this always been a thing, tickling?
Yes, actually, going back through history, just like so many of the other kings we've talked about previously, it goes back through time and memoriam throughout human history for multiple different cultures, Chinese, Japanese, indigenous cultures, like Inuit cultures, Slavic mythology, where they have monsters and demons that tickle people to death. In the Roman times, it was used as a form of torture to kill people, literally, that were prisoners that stood against it. Yeah, that stood against the Roman Empire. The Japanese have a whole class of fetishism for it called kutsuguri zime, which means merciless tickling. So yeah, throughout human history, humans have had a love-hate relationship with tickling.
Yeah, how did the Romans torture people with tickling?
Yeah, so they used to do this. You know, the Romans are so inventive with their ways to torture people. They would tie people down and put salt on the bottom of their feet, and then have goats, like a herd of goats, lick their feet until they were raw, and then eventually the person would die from infection or exposure. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Absolutely macabre. Terrible.
Yeah. That is. And is there any explanation that why people would make that connection between tickling and sex, if they're enjoying the tickling, I should add? You know, in the sense, because you might think on the face of it, you wouldn't be able to concentrate if you're laughing.
Yeah, absolutely. Like a lot of kinks and fetishes, they're born from extreme experiences, usually during young ages, or just like general sensory play. So there's lots of different aspects of it. There's sensory play, there's power play, there's a domination and submission aspect of it. Doctors believe that people are ticklish in certain areas, and doctors like Darwin and, you know, Freud and Darwin actually speculated evolutionarily, why are humans ticklish versus any other species that's not? And the theory behind it is that the parts that are the most ticklish on the human body are generally the most sensitive. So underneath the armpits, your stomach, your feet, near your neck, where the carotid artery is at. And so the theory, just like lion cubs like to play rough with each other so that they can learn how to hunt, is that humans need to learn how to protect those parts of our body. So we use play, like tickling, as a way to teach our young how to protect themselves as they grow up in the wild back in our caveman times. And so, yeah. So when it comes to how people can eroticize tickling, a lot of times it's a deeply intense experience. And so just like all kinks where you're trying to induce a parasympathetic nervous system response, it's not uncommon that people will sexualize extreme experiences. Like, for instance, a lot of the clients that I've worked with who have been very interested in tickling as a kink, they were in my era, growing up as millennials, where they did attachment therapy. It was very popular in the 80s and 90s, where they would take kids who had grown up in, like, say, foster care or were adopted later in life, and they had difficulty attaching to their parents. And so this was a horrible form of therapy that was condoned all over the Western world in the 80s and 90s, where therapists would hold down the child and then the adoptive parents would tickle them until they literally almost passed out a way to teach the child to submit and be vulnerable. And the idea was that it would form and foster an attachment. Obviously, years later, this has been debunked. It is absolutely categorically a form of torture. But there are a few clients that I've worked with in the past that had this experience where they did go through attachment therapy. And so in order to protect the mind will eroticize it in order to reduce that stress response, because the opposite of trauma is play, right? It's like, just like a lot of kinks, it's adults playing, and it's taking that trauma or that experience and transmuting it into something really pleasurable.
Yeah. And for people who are in then to being tickled, does there tend to be a set form? Do you use some sort of device for tickling, or you just the way you tickle your kids, you just do with your fingers kind of thing?
It's all sorts. I mean, there's all kinds of, as much as you can imagine, there's feathers and, you know, obviously people's hands. They have tools called like Wartenberg wheels or pinwheels, which are meant to be kind of prickly sensation, but also kind of tickly. You can use different kinds of like temperature play, like ice cubes, sorts of things like that, bring that into the play. But generally speaking, it looks quite similar to how tickling would go when you would tickle your children, except sometimes you'd have an aspect of where there's restraint involved, and that's not uncommon. Or there'd be another overlap between like podophilus, people who are into feet, and there'd be a foot worship aspect of it, and then some tickling possibly as a part of that as well.
Yeah.
So it really just depends on the person.
And is there a lot of laughing?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. It's actually my favorite kink to play with, because as long as it's mutually consensual, you're just laughing and giggling the whole time. It's exactly what you would think about it. There's a wonderful documentary that was done in 2016 called Tickled by David Ferrier. I think it won the Cannes Film Festival for the best documentary in that year. And it's about the whole underworld of competitive tickling and all of the bespoke porn and all the other subculture around it. So for example, they have, you know, code names like Lees and Lurs. So are you the Tickle-y or are you the Tickler? So I'm a Lur, and then the people I work with be Lees. And it's all, again, like so many kinks and fetishes, it's quite innocent and benign on the surface. There's no nudity, there's no penetrative sex. It's just people tickling each other.
That's hilarious. And so,
yeah,
could you kind of divide it in there's a bit of tickling and then you have sex, or there's just tickling and that can lead to orgasm?
Yeah, and it absolutely can. So generally what I do with people is I don't do with the traditional sexual part of it. I do explore kinks and different kinds of play with other people and help them bring it into their own personal lives. But yeah, because just like any kind of kink, anything can become endurance and anything can become an orgasmic experience. I think it's kind of the lack of sexual education that we have in our society that people don't think about P&V sex, and they think that that's what gets people to orgasmic states. Whereas now we know through kind of force-based feminism and all of the sex positivity movement that's happening right now is that there's lots of other ways to access orgasm, and that's not uncommon that people who are going to be leaves would be able to get to a climactic state through tickling.
Yeah. On the other hand, can you kind of, what's the appropriate phrase here? But like, I was going to say go down a rabbit hole, but that's probably conjures up all sorts of, but that you can get locked into there's only one way I can express myself sexually. You know, just say forensic will be tickling and then you're kind of cutting off other things.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what I try to preach through the workshops and the webinars and then the teaching and the individual coaching that I do with people, is that there's so many other ways. It's a vast plethora, as many as there are people on the planet, are as many permutations of interesting kinks and things that people can do to get themselves into a climactic state or just enjoy themselves.
Yeah.
I think that's the problem with our society, is that we have kind of an orgasm chasing society, which is get to the rush to the end and turn the lights off when you've had, 10 pints and then, wait until it's over kind of thing, versus like actually being really intentional and present, being very deliberate, paying lots of attention to certain parts of the body that are not traditionally thought to be sexual. And that's all available within tickling, but just like so many other kinks actually. And I really encourage people to explore them.
Yeah. And so people that people who are into tickling, could you be tickled on any part of the body, or, does it tend to be the feet or under the arms or that kind of thing?
Yeah, it depends on the person. I mean, it depends on the person. It's funny because they did a study where they actually used a robot's arm versus a human hand doing it as a part of the study. It would have been a fun study to watch. Be a fly on the wall and watch the study happen. But it actually did not matter who was doing the administrating, if it was a human controlling a robot that was doing the activity or if it was just a human being actually administering the tickling.
Oh.
But what did matter is that they were being watched. And that was it's a pro-social behavior. In other words, if you were to tickle, like, it's the reason why people can't tickle themselves. It's very difficult to do, right?
Yeah.
And so the parts of the body that are more sensitive, again, tend to be around areas which have more nerve endings. And again, physiologically, that's because we want to protect those areas because they're more vulnerable for us. So the back of the knees, the top of the head, the scalp, the back of the neck, the underneath the chin, the behind the ears, the in between the elbow, like the elbow creases, etc. All of that can be absolutely explored and can be ticklish, but it really depends on the person, and it also depends on the circumstance. For example, if you were to try and tickle somebody after they went to a funeral, they might not have the same experience as if they, just a regular old day.
True,
the person, the mood.
Well, like anything, really. So yeah. From that, though, I mean, from the people who enjoy being tickled, do they have a difficulty finding people to tickle them? Because they might go, well, just tickle me for the next 20 minutes and I'm done. Thanks very much. The tickler might get that much out of it.
Yeah, the lures have a harder time than the leaves. So if you're a tickler and you're interested in tickling people, it's harder to find people who are willing to be tickled because it is a fairly specific kink. On the other hand, I find that because it is so benign, it's one of the most benign forms of, like, one of the most benign kinks I know of. It's kind of a thing that people approach with their partners. They're like, yeah, sure, why not? Like, it's kind of silly, but why not? It's not particularly erotic for me, but cool, why not? So I think it's actually a lot easier for the leaves. But if you're really into tickling other people, you know, maybe it's a good thing to put on your Tinder profile. I'm a lure.
Clarity, thanks a million for talking to us today. That was the motivational speaker and professional dominatrix, Clarity Mills.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.